content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in...
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, 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 very much. And listen, you know, you can always tune in to us every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern at BBS Radio, Anchor FM, iTunes, and about 100 other places, too. So just look for us, and you will find us. Do you want to amplify your influence with worldwide media exposure and be heard on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations? If you would like, all you have to do is text the word guest to 91096. You'll receive a link to our guest questionnaire and also get a free copy of our Secrets to Interview Riches. That was a nice applause.
Very good, Jay.
You like that? Am I getting better at that?
Much better.
I know.
Smoother.
All right. Anyway, so who's up today? We got a great time with the last guest, huh? So who's up today?
William Michael Forbes.
Yeah.
He is a spiritual medium, channel, and intuitive life coach. He's been coaching people for over 30 years, yet something happened a little over a year ago that opened him up to the divine. Energy beings that exist outside our normal range of perception. We do not see them or hear them until we discover how to tap into them. This gave William the ability to guide others with their inquiries and to facilitate in developing their abilities to connect with the non-physical and high vibrational beings by raising his vibration. William Michael Forbes is able to connect to a higher knowledge, guides, angels, ascended beings, and others. Messages can be passed through to the recipient. The information does not come from him. He receives information from the spirit world. Michael is merely just a messenger. He feels honored to be able to connect others to their past loved ones, guardian angels, and receive guidance from ascended masters and multidimensional beings. He is the author of How to Kill Suicide with Reason to Live. He has a lot to share. I think we're going to start with his personal story, Jay.
Well, it looks that way. The element of surprise, right?
That is question number one.
Hello, William. How are you?
I'm great, AJ. How are you doing?
Oh, good, good. What a hell of an intro there. That was good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, all right, let's get right into you here. So you brush with death. You're standing on a bridge, you know, 130 feet plus up from the ground about to jump. What happened there?
Actually, a voice spoke to me and said, don't jump, get down off the bridge, go to the payphone, call this phone number, and ask for this man. He'll help. And I didn't argue with it. I was going to jump or... So I went to the payphone, called the number. The guy actually answered, and it was the person the voice said. And I ended up moving in with his family. He gave me a reason, and that set of experiences changed my life. At the time, I didn't know I was actually having a divine spirit speak to me at the time. I was too emotionally distraught to really analyze the experience. But that set me off on a path of self-discovery that wasn't available up to that moment.
So when you got the message to call this guy and the number to call this guy, did you know this guy? Was it kind of like call this person you know? Or did you not absolutely did not know this person at all?
I did not absolutely know this person. All I got was the number, and I called it. Back then in Toronto, the numbers were only 7 digits long, so it was pretty easy to memorize.
So how was this when you called this person and went through this? What was their reaction?
Well, I called first and I said, hi, is so-and-so there? Terry O'Brien was the gentleman's name. He passed. I said, is Terry O'Brien there? And he said, this is Terry O'Brien. And I just fell into a puddle of tears and was crying with my sob story to him about how I was homeless and didn't think I had any value or worth. And he just simply said, come over to my house. I'll take you with my family. I'll give you a job and on one condition, you read a book. And so I did. He gave me a book called The Psychology of Self-Esteem by Dr. Nathaniel Brandon. And that book... opened up the reality that we have power to choose our own thoughts and create our own reality.
Who was this guy? Was he like a pastor, a priest, or a therapist, or what was his story?
He at the time, he ran a lighting store. He was a lighting refabricator. He used to drive to New York and Pennsylvania and pick up old lighting fixtures and refinish them. So he hired me to work in his store, helping him refinish old light fixtures. So that's basically what it is. But he's a family man. He worked with adopted children. So he also took in adopted and worked with them as well.
Did he ask, how did you get my number? Who told you about me?
No, he never asked that question until about 5 years in. He said, how did you get in touch with me in the first place? I told him. He thought, oh, that's a little out there for me. He said, that's kind of silly. He did kind of dismissed it. And so I never really thought much of it from the time from the bridge from that moment forward. I didn't really start thinking about it until my mother-in-law came to me a couple years ago. Then I realized this other world that's trying to communicate to all of us all the time.
So do you think, real quick, the guy that saved you, so to speak, do you think he was an earth angel, like a living, a real life earth angel?
He would never have said that. He was just the kind of guy that cared about people. But from my perspective, he was here. I don't think he ever really understood the impact giving me that book would have on my life, nor the fact that he took me in with his family for the next 3 or 4 years. I rebuilt my mind and my emotional state while I lived with his family before I could go living out on my own again.
That's incredible.
Definitely an earth angel. Definitely.
That's amazing.
So, and I want to just tag on to this one before we move on to the next topic here with you, because there's so much to talk about with you. But so when you initially called him and you just started telling about, you know, hey, I was just going through the experience, I was about to jump, and, you know, was it like, can I come over? Or was it like, you know, was he like, hey, why don't you get over here kind of thing?
No, it was a very like, come over to my home, I'll give you the address, I'll take care of you, you can stay with my family, I'll give you a job. It was really straightforward. His reaction was really level. I was a mess. I was like blubbering and crying, and I mean, I don't have any value or meaning. I was just at that place where I had no value. I didn't even see any value in myself.
Then what point did you meet your wife afterwards, and then what happened with your mother-in-law?
Well, first of all, I've gone through two previous marriages, and my current wife, we met about 10 years ago, and she's an amazing woman. I would not be where I am right now if it wasn't for her. Her mother was about 8 years old, about a year and a half ago, and we were driving to the mountains in Newfoundland. Her mother had passed away a week before we went for this drive out in Newfoundland, and we're driving through the hills, the mountains of Gros Morne, and up in the mountains, I hear this voice in my head saying, I am the mother. And my body suddenly got extremely hot. I started shaking. And I said, there's somebody in my head saying, I am the mother. I've got to pull off the road. I can't drive. And I pulled off to the side. And then she said, what do you mean? Someone saying, I am the mother. And then all of a sudden it went to, I am your mother. My wife fortunately pulled her phone out and recorded this 45-minute conversation that she had with her mother, who just went to the other side the week before.
Aww. And
She was in tears. I was in tears. And it's a very strange feeling having that experience like that for the first time and realizing that there's no such thing as death. The reality is we do not end after the form ceases to function.
So let's talk about that feeling. See how you always try to get like, you notice how April asks a question. Forget our question. You know, every time April tries to ask a question, right, she always throws in like five of them at once. So she gets her like, oh my God.
I'll let you
Can
slide.
Someone else play?
Go ahead.
All right. No, all right. So when we go through this experience, what's it like? Is it like, is there almost like some prelude to it, like almost like an earthquake coming or a vibration, or is it just bam, hit you like that when they're coming?
Well, at that time, it was just like this. First, the voice spoke and said, I am the mother. There's no warning. There's no sense of anything other than the voice saying, I am the mother. And then it was followed by this intense sensation of heat and then a physical sensation of shaking. And I had to pull over.
Have you since then had it an experience as strong as that one?
Yes, I have. Actually, I've had Master Jesus come and speak through me, and I get a very similar sensation, except the heat. I really have to drink so much water because my body just starts sweating profusely when he starts to come through.
Did you say Master Jesus?
Yes, I said Master Jesus.
And does Master Jesus come through often?
He's come through about 14, 15 times with me over the last 18 months.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, but it's always something that's relevant to what is happening in my life. And relevant to the message is that he's trying to communicate to people that people wake up from their living in a state of fear. It's absolutely unnecessary. When he comes in, it's very intense like that. But nothing, I don't think anything can compare to his energy.
What does Master Jesus, what's his core message?
His core message is stop being afraid and live from love. Speak, think, and do from love. Don't waste your life in fear. Fear is the old way. It's the way of your body. It's the way of our past. It's not who you are. Live from love. Love is in the present.
So hold that thought with Master Jesus, because I want to hear more about this too. We got to get a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back, everybody. Hang tight. Warning: radical new information about the death of Jesus, told by a present-day eyewitness. So bizarre, it may be very difficult to find agreement with, but in hopes will stir your curiosity and cause you to embark upon your own journey. My Journey Beyond the Bizarre, by Apollo spacecraft engineer Edward J. Evers, tells what really happened to Jesus in his last hours here on Earth. How? Because Edward J. Evers was there in a past life. Discover statements never spoke before now, plus the workings of your conscious and subconscious minds, past lives, you as a spirit, UFOs, and so much more. Get your copy of My Journey Beyond the Bizarre by Edward J. Evers at www.ejevers.com. Again, that's ejevers.com. Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. Very, very much. We are with William Michael Forbes here. So, William, when we talk about where we left before we went to break, we were talking about you getting the information from Master Jesus. Now, just to put it in perspective, is that the Master Jesus that we all know as in the biblical books?
Well, it's the Master Jesus that's referred to in all the biblical books, yes. They're one and the same, but the language of what she's expressed as being from the Bible is very significant in terms of who he really was and what he represents.
Who is he really, and what does he represent that is off balance with what is written in the books?
He represents one's capability to manifest themselves as a divine expression of love while in a physical form. That's, in a nutshell, what he is. It's what we all have the potential to become, similar to that. It's what he came and tried to teach people to do, to become as he was.
Do you have, when you have these conversations and these people come through, are you at a point right now doing this where do they just come arbitrarily to you, or can you call upon?
I can call upon them, and they can come arbitrarily. Sometimes I'll be in the shower, or even on the toilet, or walking down the street, and someone will come in. A couple of weeks ago, I had Babaji come in. I had Stephen Hawking come in a couple of weeks ago, and they said they got specific messages they wanted to deliver. So I'll do a little tiny glitch and put that up on my YouTube channel. So yeah, I can call them in, or they'll come in on their own.
I'm sorry, who did you say randomly came in over the past week or two?
Babaji and Dr. Stephen Hawkins.
So from the time that you had the experience with your mother-in-law up until now, where you can just literally call upon people, how long, what was that time frame? And what did you do within that time frame that got you from zero, virtually zero communication with the other side of the beings and multidimensional beings to where you are today?
Well, I was first told by Master Jesus that I had to start teaching other people how to get in touch with their divine masters.
So when Master Jesus comes to, is it a male or female energy to you?
It's predominantly a male energy, but there's a very feminine backdrop to it. There's a feeling of gentleness and nurturing that comes through with him. His masculine side, however, is very, very clear, articulate, straight to the point, and get your stuff. But he told me I think the second time he came through, he said, I had to teach people how to actually communicate with him and others, because everybody can do this. It's not something that's exclusive to one person or another. Everybody has the capability within them to reorganize their internal perceptual abilities to perceive different levels of conscious awareness that aren't perceivable to our ears and our eyes. Master Jesus often says that to me. He says, people have to learn to hear without their ears and see without their eyes. And that's a retraining of our awareness that enables us to perceive these other dimensional beings and these ascended masters.
How can you, or what steps would you suggest for people that are just starting out? Or let's say people are, you know, pretty much aware, but they don't know how to get to that level of consciousness. What can they do from your perspective to connect with Master Jesus?
That's a great question. And the truth is, we're not really separate from it. We're just trying to become aware of it. But the first step is to learn to start treating your body properly with respect. Keep it properly hydrated. Keep your body grounded. Go out and be connected to nature. Make certain that you're eating proper foods. You want to get your mind quiet. You need to learn to train mind to be quiet. Once your mind is actually quiet, you can actually start to hear. Most people's minds are going blah, 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 blah in the background a lot of the times. And once they can get that quiet, there's something else there that can be heard in the silence. That's not necessarily language, but it's a vibration or a feeling that you know is present. And in that place of silence, you can begin to call on these beings to come into your system so you can see them. Like you can actually call Master Jesus, or you can call Buddha, or you can call Queen. You can call these different beings into your energy field and perceive their energy coming close to you physically. So getting your mind quiet, keeping your body healthy, and being able to really open your awareness up outside of what you're familiar with in your own mind. Because your mind gets in the way most of the time, so you don't actually hear the stuff that's going on outside of what you already know. But once you can do that, these beings are around all of us all the time.
How can someone be sure that they're connecting with a Master Jesus or an Ascended Master instead of like a trickster, someone stepping in, acting like, but they're really not the being that they're trying to communicate with?
It would have to come from love.
Well, some of them are pretty, you know, close in relation. They make you think that you're connecting with that type of entity, but in reality, maybe you're not. So how can somebody, though, how can someone know that they know that they know that they're connecting with something from a higher consciousness?
If you connect something from a higher consciousness, and they often tell me that the terms like higher and lower are really not the best way to describe it, but for the sake of this question, higher consciousness is reflected in a state that's less fearful. When you're in a state of love, you are away from fear. When you connect to these beings at a higher vibrational frequency, and love is a frequency of energy that's very high, it makes us feel good. It alters our DNA. It changes the way we feel. And so I always know I'm close to them because my energy begins to go up. I begin to feel good. My body posture changes and realigns itself. When you're in a state of fear or uncertainty, your body language will begin to reflect that. You're to a lower vibrational consciousness. You can start connecting to energies that are on a lower plane of consciousness. So I always know, because my energy goes up, I feel joy, and I feel supercharged.
That's very good way to, I like that.
Yeah, so much there to talk about. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Hang tight, everybody.
Your health, have more energy, and love what you see when you look in the mirror? Imagine creating your thinner self without ordering special foods, products, or supplements, without an exercise program, and without counting calories. David Mandansky won the 2018 Independent Best Book Award for Diet and Nutrition and developed Create Your Thinner Self. In 2016, David was told by his doctor that he had a 95% chance of a heart attack. During the next 4 months, he lost those 50 pounds and has kept it off. Learn to stop losing those same 10 pounds over and over with the Create Your Thinner Self program. Go to createyourthinnerself.com today.
Internationally known eternal life coach, Brian Arnold was a professionally trained card shark who made over $4 million by age 24. He also became suicidal. He was seconds away from pulling the trigger when divine intervention stepped in. He had a powerful spiritual experience and was instantly delivered from his darkness and found his purpose for living. Brian has spent over 45 years helping tens of thousands of people battling depression, addictions, and suicidal thoughts, getting control and their lives back and turn their mess into a message of hope and inspiration. Brian Arnold created the Miracle Working Card A Day Mental Health Nutrition Strategy. Cleanse your thoughts and renew your mind to a higher, better life. Get a free set of 26 Miracle Working Cards today. Go to www.kingdomproblemsolvers.com. That's kingdomproblemsolvers.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, 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 very much. We're with Mr. William Michael Forbes. So, William, why can't most people consciously communicate with individuals, for example, that are passed into a non-physical consciousness?
That's a great question, and the reason is most people are so identified with their physical body is the only point of perspective that they can view reality from. The information they've acquired from birth to the present moment really restricts them to the information they have in their mind and their body, so they're really not sensitive to the levels of energy and consciousness of these beings that are beyond what they know. Does that make sense?
It does. And so with that being said, so let's flip that a little bit there. What about the person that did pass now? Do they, when they pass, how long is it, or is it a transition before they know that they are no longer in human form, or is there a sense of confusion that hits in for them? For that spirit?
Sometimes it depends from person to person. It depends on how self-aware they were when they made their transition. There are people that make a transition, and they are so exclusively tied to the idea that they had while they were in a physical form that they're not conscious that they still actually exist outside the form. They're unconscious to their consciousness. Whereas there are some people that have enough self-awareness, they realize that, oh, I'm not this body. That body's there, and they are aware that they still are aware. And then there's those that are kind of in between that, where they're still trying to wrestle with, who am I, what am I? But most people are stuck so in this locus of identity called the physical body, or the individual self, like William or Bob or Pete or Jennifer. They think that when they leave the form, that reference point for identity is gone, so they don't know they still exist. That, I find, has been the majority of cases where people are lost.
And is there a period where they then, you know, generally, I guess it must be different for each spirit, but is there a period where they all of a sudden, do they go to the light? Can they go to like a dark place or another tunnel, let's call it? Or, you know, is there a fork in the road there for them to do?
There can be. Again, it depends upon the level of awareness that they choose to identify with at the point they leave the physical form. My experience has been that when a person leaves the form, if they can cultivate a reference point, and one way that, like I've worked with people that are in comas or people have had strokes, and some of these got physical damage to the body like that, they can't hear words, like they can't hear sound waves. The soul is disconnected from the body. But they can hear thought waves, which are non-physical. So you can actually think to somebody that's not in their body, and they can pick up that wavelength of energy as opposed to people talking to their physical body. So you could think to them, hey, I'm aware that you're still there, connect to me. And there's lots of people, I cannot tell how many people I spoke to over the last year, who have thought out to people, and they can feel their presence. And lots of people have lost a loved one, people often feel that. It's because the people can hear your thoughts when they're not in a form, as opposed to sound waves, because you need ears to hear sound.
Did you say that you were communicating with people in a coma?
Yes.
And what, were you able to find out why, how long, why haven't they gotten out of it? Like, what were they telling you?
Well, oftentimes they don't even know they're aware. And the ones that I work with did not know they were aware. Once I think out to them, once I actually sense and feel their energy, and I think to them, that, for example, Sharon, I'll think out, Sharon, I'm present, can you hear my thoughts? And I'll feel an energy come immediately. Once that I feel that feeling, I know they're picking up the thoughts. Then I can think to them, if there's a correction that has to be made in the body, for example, I might think to them, you need to tell your glandular system or your nervous system to begin to rebuild the left cerebral hemisphere. And you have to do it with great concentration. I'll think that to them. And again, if they focus deeply from that state and direct the energy in the body will begin to rebuild itself. So I've actually watched people get comas fairly quickly once they are directed how to work with energy on a non-physical state.
So you, and I want to make sure I just heard you clearly. Did you say you helped those people come out of the coma?
Yes.
Wow. How, in like, was it over a short period of time? Like, were they out in a week, a month, 6 months?
As you were talking to them, right?
Yeah.
The first one that I worked with, was she'd been in a coma for 30 days, and I went in and I thought to her, and I said, you're going to wake up in 3 days, you'll have full conscious memory of everything you've experienced, and you'll be able to communicate with us. And 3 days later, there was a fire in her hospital room, and she opened her eyes and woke up.
Wow.
And then we went through a process then of communicating with her and instructing her on how to rebuild the glands, the nerves, the organs, because she had been in a coma for long after that. She started to get a condition called TENS, where the nerves and the hands and the tendons begin to shorten. So she had to recondition all those nerves and ligaments and tendons to start to grow. And they're proving us now with epigenetics, of course, that we can reinstruct the body how to regrow and rebuild. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that experience.
Is that something you have to do? Can it be done remotely, or do you have to be physically in the same hospital room as the patient?
No, it can be done remotely. There's time, space, and matter function very differently than on a non-physical than they do on the physical plane, where we have to physically walk a body from this point to that point. Your awareness, for example, right now we're communicating here, and although our sound waves are traveling through the system, my awareness and your awareness are connected in this interview. Although we would say, well, from a physical standpoint, we're in two different points of time, and that's true too. But from awareness, you can move your awareness to any point of time and space. And this can be measured now. Remote viewing, which has been done for decades, has proven that we can do that, and we can actually alter electromagnetic equipment remotely as well.
When people are in comas, are they in control of when they actually come out of it?
Not exactly. That what you control happens when the individual soul, the awareness, becomes aware that it's aware again. Most people, when there's a severe trauma to the body, the consciousness gets out of the body. There's a detachment between the awareness electrically of the soul and the electrical potential of the body. And they have to be reconnected. But in order for that to occur, the soul has to be aware that it's aware. And once it's aware that it's aware, then it can receive instructions on how to begin to make corrections.
Got it.
So what's the purpose? So when you talk to the Master Jesus, what's the purpose? Why are we even here? Why wouldn't we just stay there? Because it seems like it's just, you know, I don't want to call it easier, but it just seems like, you know, you blink of an eye, you got what you want. You know, you get more of a magical experience, let's call it.
Well, because here we're learning how to simply do fundamental things. I mean, we evolve in consciousness, not just as these human beings, but inside our physical bodies, the entire spectrum of known consciousness from the mineral stage to the electronic stage is within this body. We've evolved our consciousness from the single cell consciousness of an amoeba up to these physical forms. And we can see that experience play out in the process of reproduction, where we watch a sperm and an ovum come together, and that single cell, literally in 9 months, creates a brand new body. Well, that's, billions of years of evolution unfolding in 9 months. So we come into that process. Now we come out into this, now there's this other energy that we're actually working with these bodies in time, space, and matter, and we are learning to create and recreate and change time, space, and matter from this perspective. And it is a learning curve. It's literally learning to master energy. I mean, you can tell your hand to open and close, but why can't you suddenly turn your attention to a bottle sitting on a counter and ask it to levitate? Why can't you do that? Why have we not got that level of awareness in you? But that exists. You look at some of the Eastern Qigong masters that can move bowls from 15 feet away with the chi from their stomach. So we have this ability to cultivate states that are better than what the body itself can manifest. Our bodies are based in fight or flight. We have to learn to evolve to that. We have not evolved as a species beyond fight or flight yet. We're still having wars. We're still after each other. You know, we're still wanting and needing stuff all the time. We have not mastered this process called love, which I think when that begins to happen, then we start to see an evolution of people out of being identified with matter into expressions where we can take care of everybody, where everybody knows how to take care of themselves, that we then end up getting rid of this process of codependence. But that has to be learned. It would be too easy to just leave the body and try and figure it out there, but it's not. You leaving the body, if you don't have the knowledge and skill to understand that you exist, you'll live in what they call purgatory, the middle ground, where you don't even know you exist. You don't know you are. That's the same way as a little baby is.
Let's talk more about that when we get back from a break. Okay, hang tight, everybody. More with William Michael Forbes. Get excellent insight and spiritually motivating teachers with Frank DeVersa, the number one international best-selling author, Spiritually Raw in the 21st Century. Frank DeVersa was an agnostic for 20 years and has been on a spiritual journey ever since incurring a serious illness in 1997. The illness inspired him to renew his faith in God and view spirituality and life in a more enlightened way. Spirituality in the 21st century will expand one's perspective and horizons to cultivate positive human qualities such as tolerance, generosity, and love. To get your copy of Spirituality in the 21st Century by Frank DeVersa, go to www.frankdeversa.org. That's www.frankdeversa.org. All right, everybody, welcome back with Mr. William Michael Forbes. So before we went on break, we were talking about, you know, and again, one of the things that triggered here for me is that, you know, here on Earth, is this considered, you know how they say, I guess, heaven on Earth, is this considered for some people hell on Earth? Is this that place?
No, it's not. It's whatever we can individually make it, but it's also what we collectively make it. I mean, as a species, we interact electromagnetically not only with each other, but we're interacting with the trees and the air and even the global electric circuit. You know, the electromagnetic poles of the planet are shifting because humanity has been in a state of fear more so than anything else over the last 85 years. And we're actually changing the electrical relationship between ourselves and the planet, but we also do that with each other all the time. Every time we think a thought, every time we look at each other a certain way, we are communicating an electrical energy that affects how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about other people, and how we're going to interact with each other.
So, for example, like this virus that everybody's talking about, right? The coronavirus, right? Mm-hmm. So are we as a society giving it too much energy? Would we be better served if we were to not really give it any energy? Are we overreacting, you think?
I think that we are overreacting as a species to anything that's fear-based. Again, we already know that we can affect changes in physiology by our thinking. We know that. You could take anybody who's in a high anxiety state, have them do some really deep breathing for a few minutes, do some visualizations, their anxiety will drop down. This virus, the coronavirus, there's been a big bunch of drum beating around how scary this thing is. But again, if you buy into the fear, you feed the fear. You actually weaken your immune system when you're in a state of fear. A weakened immune system makes you more susceptible biologically to certain things. But ultimately, if you're in a state of love, you're in a state of gratitude, your state of appreciation and gratefulness, you're not going to attract that frequency into your body, because the virus is just another frequency, just like this radio system is a frequency, or a cell phone number you dial is a different frequency. A virus is a frequency. I think we're overreacting significantly.
What's your thoughts on climate change?
I think we as a species are having more impact on the planet by how we think and feel than we are with our industry. Emotional energy, I mean, right now you're sitting in that body, and what you're thinking and feeling is causing shift in the electrons that produce a field around your body. Because every time your heart beats, there's electrical magnetic pulsation around the body. So So that field is interacting with your thoughts and emotions, which overlaps into the feelings and thoughts of the people around us, which expands out into the village, into the city, into the town, the country. So the collective emotional state of humanity as a whole, I believe, is having a great impact on what we call climate change. We are altering the planetary climate with our overall emotional state as a species.
But industry-wise, we're really not.
Well, industry-wise, certainly there's some really stupid things that we're doing as a species to the planet that are really unnecessary because we, with our technology available, we could power our lives with clean energy. There are fundamental things that we can do from a scientific and practical standpoint. But overall, the general behavior, even industrially, is still based in an emotional belief. Any emotional state that we have causes behavior. You can't escape that reality. When you have a certain emotion, it's going to generate a change in your physiology, which will cause behavior. And as a species, if we're behaving as a species that's frightened and angry or needy or frustrated, we're going to create behaviors that reflect that in the conditions that we call our physical lives. And when we start to change that from a negative to a positive, that too will also show up in our lives, which is why you can go to a concert and everybody's happy and clapping and excited. Everybody comes out of there on a high. You know, you go to those protests where everybody's yelling hatred at each other and everybody's just angry and there's pain and there's fighting. Two very different situations creating two different emotional energies, creating two different behaviors in a social setting. And as a species, there's 7.5 billion of us that are emotionally generating feelings and energies into the planet that affect not only each other, but affect the planet as well.
What exactly is emotion in the fifth state of energy?
That's a great question. We've got, you know, science has identified that solid, there's four states of energy, solids, liquids, gases, and plasma. And I was told by my guardian angel John about 8 months ago that he said, you've got to start telling people that it is emotion is the fifth state of energy. Through the use of our emotions, we can alter matter, time, and space in a much more fundamental and practical way with greater intention and quicker results by understanding that emotion is an energy that we actually use to create or generate our personal experiences and our collective experiences as a species.
Wow, that's pretty good. So, one last question for you before you love and leave us here, and then you know there's so much to talk about with you here. Can you tell us really quickly, because people here, especially in the Western world, they love their animals. What are the animals to us, and what role are they supposed to play for us?
That's a great question. I don't think they're supposed to play a role for us. I think they're playing a role with us, but we've put them in the position of they're supposed to play a role for us. You know, when you look at what we're doing to literally billions of animals around that we use for food and the emotional states that we put them into, that also has a net effect on the planetary electrical system. But I don't think animals are here to be something they're supposed to be for us. They're supposed to be working with us in this collective creation called Earth.
That was very well,
well
said.
Well said. All right, Mr. William Michael Forbes, everybody. So can you give our audience one, what you'd like to leave us with, and also let everybody know how they can find out about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I teach people channeling courses. We have a series of courses we're running right now. We've got a couple of dates starting on March the 13th and April the 4th. We've got two courses, mediumship 102 intermediate level courses, where you can actually learn to channel your guides, your angels, and how to actually tap into that for yourself to better your life. If you want to know more about what I do and how to find more information about the course and class, you can go to williammichaelforbes.com and get all the information there. And I guess if I could leave everybody that's there with a really valuable thought, it would be this. Simply, you are not your thoughts. You are not your emotions, but your emotions can become products of your thoughts. So choose your thoughts carefully. Choose thoughts of love. Choose ideas that are going to benefit not only your physical body, but they'll benefit people around you. Get focused in love. Get centered in love. Get away from all the pain.
Don't you just love this gig? It's like therapy.
It's the best therapy.
This is like the best therapy always. I love this gig. You know what I mean?
It's awesome. I always learn so much.
Mr. William Michael Forbes, thank you for being on with us. All the best to you. And thank you for spreading that message of love, love, love. And, I'm sure we'll see you next time. Hey, everybody, it's been a great show. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
I see. tonight. Look up and I feel things just ain't right. Look up and I hear the people cry. Look up and I wonder why. Don't you want to know what is? Do we really exist? Is life but a flame? Have changed for me. I look up and I feel the ceiling has rearranged. Look up and I hear the dolphins cry. I look up and I just don't know why. Have we lost our way? Will we be here another day? Are these the end of days? Will we be here to mend our ways? I see stars came out for.